Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
I want to preface the trigger warnings by saying today's episode is a spinoff from Hunting Adeline. If you have read that book specifically, you know this author leans very heavy on dark subjects. Please take care of yourself as this episode touches on upsetting material. So today's episode trigger warnings are kidnapping, pedophilia, sexual assault, rape, graphic violence, murder, and explicit sexual content.
And I have a Spotify comment, and this one comes from Sam. And it says, "What I love most about you guys is that you guys are entertaining, and when I have nothing else to do at night, I just listen to this podcast and it always brightens up the mood." Thanks, Sam.
Thank you. Sweet. And this week, we're telling Riley all about Where's Molly by H.D. Carlton. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I gave it a 4. I was happy to be back in the Hunting Adeline universe, but with someone else and not 600 pages.
Another victim. We love to see it.
Yeah, no, I don't love that part, but I thought it was good.
Yeah, I gave it a 4 as well. I really liked seeing her side of the story because when I was reading Hunting Adeline, I was like, who the hell is this bitch and what happened to her?
Yeah, I also gave it a 4. It was good. It was dark, but it wasn't as dark as Hunting Adeline.
No.
Because it's shorter, so it doesn't go into as many gruesome details about all of the things they go through. So it was easier to read because of that. And yeah, I liked it.
We're starting off in our prologue, and it's present day. Molly is on her farm watching her 5 massive pigs eat their dinner. The animals are pretty much all she has to talk to these days since getting the farm, but she doesn't mind. She tosses them the last human leg. As they devour it, she gets a call on her cell phone asking if the job is done.
What?
She says yes, and they tell her that she will be contacted when the new subject is due to arrive. The call ends, and she double checks that she did indeed give every last piece of the man to the pigs.
Excuse me? What kind of farm is this?
Oh, you've never heard of the Canadian serial killer? Robert
Picton.
Picton.
Oh, wait, I have heard that case.
Yeah. She doesn't feel bad about it one bit since the man was once a child rapist and trafficker. And I was like, she's like a better fucked up version of Robert Picton.
Oh my goodness. Okay, yeah.
Because she kills the pedophiles.
Yeah.
Gets rid of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't kill them. She just helps dispose of the bodies.
Yes, girl.
And pigs will eat literally anything you give to them.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Kind of makes me sad for them.
Why? They're having a great time.
Yeah. That's why I don't eat pigs.
That's why you don't eat pigs?
I don't eat them because they are so smart and they know what's happening to them.
Well, yeah. That too, but like they literally will eat anything. Like if you gave them another dead pig, they would eat it.
Shelby won't eat a pig because their moral compass is a little off.
Yeah. We are in the past 15 years ago. Molly's going to the gas station for diapers for her baby sister who desperately needs them since her junky parents aren't parenting. Her dad quickly calls out to also get more beer and cigarettes. She hurries as quickly as she can and makes small talk with the gas station attendant who knows her really well at this point. He asks why she doesn't just take her baby sister out of the situation, and she tells him that it's not that easy. Plus, she's broke, 19 years old, almost 20, and at least they have a roof over their heads. He begs for her to let him help, but she says that she has to do it the right way because she doesn't want her baby sister to be taken away by CPS if she kidnaps her sister. The door chimes and she looks to see her dad walk in with a man that she doesn't recognize. Her dad takes everything that she was buying and tells her to go with this man now, and he's not going to tell her twice. They go out the back exit where 3 other men stand, and they blindfold her and shove her into a van, and she knows that she's never going to see her sister again. 14 years ago now, Molly is finishing writing in her journal. It's the only thing that helps her sanity for the past couple weeks. She knows Francesca has something planned for the girls in 2 days, and she suspects that she's going to be auctioned off to a man.
Okay, sidebar, because I know we haven't done Hunting Adeline, but at the end of the book, do you remember when Addie gets kidnapped?
Of Haunting Adeline?
Yeah, like the whole underground thing with Zayd blows up and she's kidnapped, like ran off the road.
In a van.
at the very end, it was like a huge cliffhanger. So Molly was kidnapped by the same people that kidnapped Addie at the end of Haunting Adeline.
Oh.
She's been prepping for months and she's filled with fury at this point. She's not scared. She just knows that she needs to get out of here. She puts the journal back in its hiding spot under a loose floorboard and creeps out of her room. She steps over the mess of limbs and trash from the strung out men downstairs, and she's hoping the guard that stands outside is off on his break, and when she opens the door, she runs into a hard chest. It's not the guard, though. It's a man named Rio, and he's a prominent character in Haunting Adeline, the second book.
Yeah. You learn that he, like, is there because he has to be, not necessarily because he wants to be. So he's, like, pretty morally gray.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, he does fucked up things, but, like, he just feels like he has to.
And the journal that she's writing in that she put in the floorboard, when Addie is held captive there, she finds Molly's journal, and it's what gets Addie through, like, the trauma that she's going through while in that house.
He asks what she's doing, and she says that she wants out and tries to empathize with him about needing to get back to her baby sister. And she knows that he has a baby sister, but he's not letting her go. But he's also like, I ain't gonna stop them if they come after you.
Oh, okay.
He steps away and she takes off running. We're now in present day. Our main male character, Cage.
Wow, what a name.
He's on the phone with Eli, who normally drops the bodies off to the pig farm. When Eli tells him the woman who runs the pig farm is sexy as fuck, but he's here to do a job, not fuck a pig farmer.
Yeah.
And little does he know what that pig girl does.
Oh, he knows.
Oh, okay.
Does, like, everyone know?
No. This organization that you're going to see here in a minute, he's just filling in for the person who normally does it. He does other things for them. He arrives, and as soon as he hears her voice, he knows who she is. She tells him to bring the bodies into the barn, and he does as she says while she suits up in her hazmat suit and preps her sawzall. Once the second body is in place, she tries to dismiss him, but when he finally sees her and the very distinguishable scar that she has on her face, he knows exactly who she is. Once she sees him, she also recognizes him, asking what he's doing here, and he demands to know what she's doing here because she is not in Alaska where he took her. She says that she didn't like it there, and she doesn't answer to him. All he can think about was the last night he saw her and fucked her, and now he's never gonna let her get away again. Molly, on the other hand, is pissed that Legion, so Legion is the organization, but also slash the person who runs it.
Wasn't Zaid a part of that? No, Zaid ran Z, and I think Legion is like a subsection of Z.
Yeah, but Cage is still looking hot as fuck.
I recall my tongue tracing his sharp jawline made out of steel and thick brows creased in bliss above his forest green eyes. And I'll never forget those wide, full lips that kissed every inch of my skin, or the light stubble that sent chills down my spine every time I felt it brush against me. All features that my stare has worshipped for hours. Letting him fuck me was one of many mistakes, but I wanted to feel what everyone else was feeling when they had sex, what normal people felt. I wanted sex to feel good. I just never expected it to feel that good.
She gets back to work on dismembering the bodies, and we learn that Legion is the sister company to Z, and their main focus is to take out smaller pedophiles who slip under the radar, so not high profile, like government officials and stuff like that. Joe Schmo down the street, if he's like labeled as a pedophile, they'll like fucking take him out.
Get him.
She started working for Legion not long after coming back to Montana. She bought the farm, and it already came with the pigs. She realized how useful both the pigs and herself could be to Legion as a whole. She asks when he started working for them, and he doesn't technically work for them. He just helps them when he can. He learns that her new name is Marie, and she is all alone, has nobody. She's by herself.
No, she's got her pigs.
She does. They're named after spices. So like paprika and like
basil or something.
Basil, yeah. And like
cute.
I thought that was cute.
Yeah. They came with names though.
Yeah, they came with the names. He leaves and she gets her normal phone call asking if the job is done, and she says yes. It's been 1 week since seeing Cage, and she's reading the newest Adeline Riley book with a glass of wine.
Yeah.
And she has no idea who Adeline is.
She's just a good author.
And this is before her, obviously, correct?
No, this is all after hunting Adeline.
Oh, it is all after. Okay.
I think Molly got away like only a couple months before Adeline was kidnapped by the same people.
And then Addie was there for a few months, a year maybe.
Okay.
As she's reading, she hears a knock on the door and no one ever knocks on the door because she doesn't fucking know anyone. And she's on high alert. She grabs her gun and when she pulls up the security feed, it's just Cage. She swings the door open and he says that he came bearing gifts. Flowers, a movie. He makes himself right at home, even though she's like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. He makes popcorn, grabs them some more wine, and they have a normal night watching a movie, eating popcorn. He rubs her feet, and she starts to get really emotional over this because she's never had this once in her life.
He brings over Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Wow. What a movie.
After the movie, he asks for her number, and she's never texted anyone.
Like ever?
No, she doesn't. She doesn't know anyone.
Oh, that's true.
But it's been a couple of days and they text nonstop. She's at his store called the Black Portal watching him work. His employee, Silas, lets her know that Cage never got over her all those years ago. Cage finishes up and asks if they want to go get pizza and she says yes.
Come on, little ghost. Let's go stuff that pretty little mouth. Said mouth drops and he grabs my hand, pulling me after him as he laughs. What a dick. He's lucky it's a really fucking nice one. Let's go stuff that mouth.
Okay.
We're back in the past, 14 years ago. It's been 24 hours since she has escaped. She finally makes it through the forest, and when the trees break, there's a quiet suburban neighborhood. She hurries to the closest house where a man is mowing his lawn and screams, asking for help. He hurries her inside with his wife as she explains that she was kidnapped. They call the police, and as they wait, she has a little mentee bee and says that she has to go because she doesn't want to get the nice couple killed, because she is 100% convinced that they're right behind her and they're gonna find her and murder this couple.
Yeah, I would be convinced too.
Yeah. She takes off again down the street and hides when a patrol car passes. She sees a random kid and asks what state they're in, and he lets her know that they live in Oregon. She was kidnapped from Montana.
Oh, Jesus.
And he tells her that downtown is a McDonald's, and she says thank you and takes off again. Because he's a kid. He's like, I don't know where we are, but like over there is a McDonald's, I guess. We're in the present day. Cage is on his way to Molly's house. He's on the phone with Legion asking why Legion kept her being back a secret. But Legion's like, didn't know I had to give you that kind of information.
Yeah, why do you want
it? What's it to you?
But Legion suspects that she's back because of the sister who was given up for adoption, Layla. He asks if they know where the sister is now. And Legion says yes. She's 15 and lives with a nice, wealthy family and no one is to interfere. He lets Legion know that he will report when the delivery is completed. He's been obsessed with Molly since first seeing and hearing about her disappearance.
Like, he's obsessed with her?
Uh-huh. Like, the case about her disappearing and everything.
That's my girl.
It got, like, blown up. It was, like, on national television. Like, everyone knew about her disappearance.
Yeah, because they had the footage from the gas station where she got kidnapped from, but the footage was cut, so it literally just looked like she disappeared and nobody ever saw her again.
Scary.
And now
as hell.
She's got, like, a secret identity working for this organization. Nobody knows that she's still alive.
Even police don't know she's alive?
No.
Yeah, because she goes by Marie now. She has all new passport, ID, social, like literally everything.
Because she has to hide from the people that took her.
Crazy. Crazy. And imagine just one slip up. One slip up.
Mm-hmm. That's why she doesn't really talk to anyone, because she doesn't want to be recognized.
Yeah, I wouldn't talk to a fucking single soul if I didn't have to.
Cage wants her so bad, but knows that he can't rush this because she'll run. There's only one body tonight, so she makes quick work of everything. And she asks what the woman did. And it hits a little bit too close for her. She asks about the boyfriend, and Cage tells her that Legion has it taken care of, and the daughter of the woman that she's disposing of is at a Z location safe.
So you can only imagine what this woman did with her daughter.
Ugh, terrible.
And that's why I did not put it.
Yeah, because remember, her dad set up for her to be kidnapped and sold to this house of nastiness.
Terrible.
She asks Cage if he can make sure that the girl is actually safe. safe because, again, it hits a little too close to home for her, and he says that he'll double check. Cage asks if her situation was similar, but it only makes Molly mad because she doesn't want to divulge in that kind of information. He tells her that she's very beautiful and that he does not want to let her go again. And then he starts kissing her neck since it's the only place without any human blood, and she accidentally touches his shirt, leaving smears of it everywhere. She tells him that his shirt will need to be burned and to take it off, and he obliges. She is floored by how hot he is. He unzips her hazmat suit, saying that he wants to see how much of her has changed as well. And then she drops the last arm into the pig pen and steps up to him.
So they were talking about all the skills that she learned in the years they spent apart, and she has learned some nice martial art defensive skills. And he's like, show me. And she's like, oh, I'll show you, all right. And she put the years of practice that she learned to protect herself to use for the first time since learning. She puts Cage flat on his back, and their wrestling match soon turns lust-filled. Then she decides to headbutt him.
Surprise!
A bead of crimson trails out of his nose, yet somehow it only makes me more ravenous. Just like my pigs, the sight of his blood makes me feral.
Oink, oink.
His hands grip either side of my hips, and he pulls me down against him as he grinds his cock against my clit, sending a shockwave of pleasure shooting up my body. A quiet moan leaves his throat, a sound that I'm instantly swallowing as I crash my lips against his.
Things turn heated fast. Her shirt and bra are off, and he's sucking on her titties, but next thing she knows, she's just splattered with blood. One of her pigs is, like, shaking one of the dismembered body parts like a fucking dog. It's like, so now she's just, like, covered in blood.
Hot.
Pedophile blood.
Ooh, hotter. The blood is turning both of them on, and Cage commands her to get butt-ass naked, so she does. She's turned on, but is also fighting her insecurities right now because she has scars all over her body. She has a very distinct scar on her right cheek of an actual bite mark, but she also has them on her hip, her bicep, her stomach, her thighs, and they're from her dad.
Jesus Christ.
But then he brings her back to the present.
Jesus Christ, Cage groans. Sit on my fucking face, Molly. My stomach twists as I step over him, butterflies unleashing within as I crouch over his face, keeping my feet flat on the floor. Nerves eat me alive, but the wet, hot slide of Cage's tongue along my slit has me forgetting exactly what I was anxious about. And his unrestrained moan that follows has my stomach tightening. My mouth falls open as bliss consumes me, beginning at my core and spreading out to the tips of my fingers and toes.
He takes off his belt and loops it around her neck and slowly but cautiously starts cutting off her air supply. She is an earth-shattering orgasm from his tongue, but he's not done. He decides to take her on a trip to Pound Town.
Nice. Before I can muster a response, he's pushing inside me. My mouth drops open and he's licking my bottom lip, the act nearly as erotic as him splitting me in half. I'm trembling in his hold, and when he's halfway in, he pauses. Can't take it? He asks devilishly. He drives himself completely inside me, not bothering to wait for my answer. A choked scream greets his savage smile, burning pain at being stretched so suddenly taking over for a moment. But then he begins to roll his hips, and I'm reminded why he was impossible to forget after one night.
In my review, I give it 4 stars, but I put, I wish they didn't have sexy time in someone else's blood because it makes my tummy hurt.
Yeah.
That's HIV or something waiting to happen.
That is true, yeah.
A hepatitis bath.
Mm.
He's fucking her and choking her with his belt while she remembers that she's covered in blood, and they're both, again, getting off on it being smeared down her body. They're fucking, she's coming, and then all of a sudden,
my bones liquefy and the muscles surrounding them seize. Vaguely, I feel rather than hear the broken cry leave my throat, a sound that quickly morphs into a scream when I feel something sharp bite into my face. Directly over the scar beneath my eye, he groans against me, flesh trapped between his teeth, and his body stills before flooding my pussy with his cum. Burning pain battles with the euphoria rolling through me in harsh waves. Wait, he just, like, bit her scar?
Yeah.
Freak.
Wild.
Freak.
I had to throw that in there.
I'd be so upset.
I would too.
Yeah.
His reasoning is cute.
Yeah, he, like, gently brushes her scar, and he tells her he hopes that she thinks of him next time she looks in the mirror. Which...
oh,
I still don't know how I feel about that. Like, cute, but like,
ow.
Maybe let's talk about it first. My mouth literally dropped open. I said, no, he fucking did not.
Oh, he did.
It's a flashback 14 years ago. She made it back to her childhood home to get Layla. So she has escaped. She finally made it back and she is standing in front of her home. She knows this is stupid and it will probably get her killed, but she cannot leave her baby sister there with these monsters. She gets into the house and to Layla's room undetected, and she sees Layla sleeping in her soiled crib, and she wakes her up. She is like happy and well, but she tries keeping her little sister's voice down, and then she hears her dad's voice saying that he knew he would see her ugly face back here.
Dick. And it said she was well, but it also said she was really skinny, and she's like 1 year old.
Oh, no.
Clearly like malnourished, but like not...
Abuse?
I mean, that's still abuse, but...
Yeah, she was in better shape than she was mentally preparing herself, I guess, to see her in, but she was still not in good shape at all.
Oh, poor
baby. She said her little eyes were, like, sunken in. She asked where their mom was, and he said that she's dead. She overdosed a week ago, and that Rocco, her main kidnapper, called in yesterday looking for her. He promised her dad another $50,000 if he told him if she showed up. He was baiting her about her not even being able to keep the sex traffickers.
Oh, God.
He's just shitty. He told her he might not even call Rocco since the police have been investigating him since her disappearance. He wanted Rocco to kill the clerk since he was the reason for the police investigating him, because the clerk put down a statement saying that her dad was there, but because they manipulated the video, it just makes him look crazy too, because they're like, sir, there's no evidence that there's another person here.
It's terrible.
So her dad threatens to sell her and Layla this time so he can make a lot more than 50K, and with that, she snaps.
Kill him. She's one, and he's like, I'll fucking sell her.
Yeah.
Disgusting. Death to you.
Disgusting, disgusting.
She knew that she needed to get Layla away from this monster, so she tells him if she's caught by Rocco, she'll tell him that he was planning on selling her and Layla to other people and get him killed too. And this made her dad very mad, and he's like, let's settle this downstairs. She puts Layla down in her crib and meets him. He tries intimidating her with reminding of her of how she got her scars on her body. He raped her that night too, and her mom literally spit on her and told her that she was trying to steal her husband. They covered up the assault by saying it was a playdate gone wrong.
She said in the book that she was appalled that nobody noticed that it was a full-grown man-sized bite mark, not a child-sized bite mark.
Yeah.
And the thing about these books that fucks me up is, you know, this is happening somewhere right now.
Yeah, it's disgusting. My stomach hurts.
But she tells him she's not scared of him anymore. She's faced things way scarier than him in that house that she just ran away from. She's like, this? Light work. Me and you, Dad. It's on. So she slowly grabs her mom's coffee cup, and when he lunges for her, she cracks it over his head. They fight and tussle, and she slowly slices his jugular with the broken ceramic. As he's getting weaker and bleeding out, she tells him he does not have the privilege of seeing her while he dies. And then she starts gouging his eyes out with her thumbs.
Yeah.
She, like, presses them until they pop.
Yeah, that part was nasty.
She immediately is in cleanup and survival mode. After he's dead, she's like, all right, let's get down to business. And goes through a list in her head of the best ways to get rid of a body, and then remembers an episode of Crime Junkie she saw before, and a light bulb went off. A pig farm. And she knew just where to go.
Slay, girl.
We're back in the present tense, and Molly is just about to kick Cage out after their sex sesh. And he's like, no, girl, I just want to get to know you. Please, Pookie, don't make me go. He asks her questions about her past.
I want to be the only man on this entire fucking planet that knows what you feel like. And if I'm sharing this knowledge with a single soul still walking this earth, then I will be removing them from it. I will kill every man who's ever been inside of you. Give me the list right now.
She's just kind of over it at this point. She's like, what do you want from me? And he was like, literally anything. Like, any piece of you that you're willing to share, I just want to get to know you. He opens up first and he tells her that his favorite flower is a tiger lily because his mom used to buy them for herself every week. And when he got old enough to do so, he started buying them for her because she deserved them. And he still buys them for her to this day. Also, when she walked into his store 9 years ago, he knew who she was because he was obsessed with her kidnapping. He knew the footage was tampered with from the very beginning and he never thought she was crazy. And she kind of got defensive when she found out that he was obsessed with her case. But he reassured her that he is not here to exploit her or to do anything that would put her in danger. She finally opens up and tells him that she murdered her dad when he was going to sell both her and her sister. And she brought him to this very pig farm and fed him to the pigs. She told him Layla's name is now Emma, and she tried so hard to provide for her, but their pictures were posted everywhere. So once she killed her dad and her and her little sister went on the run, it basically was like a theory that her dad took the little sister. But because Emma was like a baby, their pictures were just blasted everywhere then. She didn't even have an idea, so she had to do like under the table jobs that were really sketchy. She wasn't making enough and it was really unsafe for both of them. So she stalked a nice, happy family for months, making sure that they were good people. And then one night she left her sister on a porch with the name tag saying her name was Emma. And eventually the family was able to adopt her. When Legion saw her being mistreated at work, he offered her a connection to Cage, who relocated her to Alaska. She tried living there for years, but not being in the same state as her sister made her feel like she was living as a ghost and like she was missing a part of herself. So 4 years ago, she moved back. She bought the farm to be closer to Layla slash Emma, and she admits to still watching her to this day. Even if she has no part in her life, she just likes knowing that her sister's safe and cared for. It's 9 years ago. We're in a flashback. She's at the piece of shit job where she first meets Legion. Basically, the owner was about to teach her a lesson, and she was probably about to get sexually assaulted, but she ends up just running home. And by home, I mean a women's shelter, because now she has no home. When she was about to leave for group therapy, she saw a card, and it was a really heavy black business card that just said Legion with a phone number. And at first, she was like having a full-blown mentee bee because she thought it was like a reporter that found her or a journalist. But finally, curiosity got the better of her, and she called. It was Legion, and he said that he saw what happened at her job, and he followed her home to give her the card, but he didn't want to scare her or alarm her. He knows who she is, and he's offering her an out. No strings attached, just true help. All he asks for in return is her silence of this happening, and if she refuses this offer, it'll never come up again, and they will disappear without a trace. And she said, you've got yourself a deal.
Yeah, I feel like I would take that.
What do you have to lose?
Yeah, nothing.
And he's like, I will pay for every single thing. I just want you to be safe. And she was like, okay.
Yeah.
We're in present tense, and Molly goes to Emma's soccer game as like a little undercover person, just like watching. And then she goes to Target, and she runs into none other than Cage and his mom as she's in the condom aisle.
Funny seeing you here.
Yeah. His mom invites her over for dinner the next day, and she's trapped and insists saying yes. His mom reaches behind her, and she's like, oh, if he's anything like his father, get these ones. And it's a size small box of condoms.
Oh, mom.
We're in a flashback for Cage. It's 9 years ago. So his official job for Legion is he provides everyone with a new identity. So he gives them fake IDs, social security cards, passports. He like makes them disappear. And he got into this business because his sister Olivia, she and her friend Kelly had shitty ass fake IDs, and they went to a club, and the bouncer called the cops. The cop that showed up was a psycho corrupt cop who took both the girls back to his house, tortured, raped, and then killed them 2 days later.
Oh my god.
And they only found this out because a couple years later, he tried to do the same thing, only the girl that he kidnapped got away. And when he was caught, he pled guilty, told them everything, and they found 9 bodies all together on his property.
Holy shit.
So, at the ripe age of 14, Cage learned how to make real-looking fake IDs, because in his head, he's like, if my sister just had a real ID, then she probably wouldn't be murdered that night.
Okay.
And he just continued this little side hustle until eventually he learned how to do passports and socials and birth certificates. He uses his electronic store, the Black Portal, as a business front, and eventually started working with Legion. And then one day, Molly walks into his store. He immediately knew who she was, and when he asked her where she wanted to go, she tells him Alaska, so no one there can find her in the woods with the wolves. And he's so sad and immediately intrigued by her. He wants to know who hurt her and what happened. Instead, he assures her, since this will only take 24 hours to get everything set to go, they will put her in a room for the night. Only Cage doesn't like that feeling, like this is about to be the last moment with her, so he steps away and makes a phone call. He calls every single hotel within a 30-mile radius and buys out every single room, so the hotels are all booked out.
Oh.
If he wanted to, he would.
I was gonna say, rich.
Well, he put it on Legion's card.
Teehee, business expense.
They're like, tax write-off. Hey, what are you doing with all this?
Why do you need 137 hotel rooms?
What are you doing?
Cage is kind of pretending to help Molly get set up in a hotel, and he says he's gonna order her first ever pizza. She's never had pizza before.
She's missing out.
She's wondering if he expects sex in return, but the more she thinks about it, she feels for the first time in her life she might actually want to have sex with this man. Anybody that's been inside of her, she has not wanted them at all. She's not had any consensual sex in her life.
Ugh.
As he's searching for hotels with vacancies, he tells her everything's booked out, but she can stay with him if she wants to.
Oh.
Shoot. Dang it.
Guess I will.
She's apprehensive, but he tells her she can contact Legion, who will set up guards around his house, and they will shoot him right in the head if there's any funny business. So he's like, make up a signal with them. If you put up the signal, they'll fucking blast my head off.
Honestly, that would be enough reassurance I needed. I'd be like, okay.
She trusts this man, so she's like, no, it's fine, I'll stay with you. They go to his house, they eat hella pizza.
pizza, and he shows her where the guest room is and where she can go take a shower. She tells herself when she's all cleaned up, she is going to fuck this man. Like, she's like, I want to fuck this man. I've never wanted to fuck a man before. I will be fucking this man.
Fuck that man.
We're in the present day, and Cage and Molly are having dinner with Cage's mom, but he forgoes dessert.
I pull out my pack of nicotine gum and shove one in my mouth. I'm tempted to eat the whole sleeve of them now that we finished dinner. Mom already served the peach cobbler, which I skipped. I'm not much of a sweets person, unless, of course, it's Molly's pussy.
Period, Cage.
All right.
He shows her his childhood bedroom, and they start getting a little frisky on his bed, but then she sees an old picture of his sister Olivia, and he tells her that's why he got into the business, and she tells him about the guilt she feels for trying and failing to take care of Layla for 4 years before giving her up to a more capable family. He tells her about his sister's favorite things, and Molly gets an idea. She walks over to Olivia's bed and puts on Olivia's favorite song, and she has the two of them sit there and listen to it in case Olivia might be listening too.
Oh, that's sweet.
Very sweet.
His heart explodes. He loves this woman, and he tells her he will chase away all of her nightmares until they never return. We're back in a flashback to the night they first had sex. Molly is super nervous, but she gets out of the shower and walks to him with just her towel on. But he looks at her with pure desire, and she's never felt this way before.
I shift on my feet, feeling how slick I've become. It's almost embarrassing, yet it's a reaction the men in Francesca's house would claim, but never actually accomplished. They wanted us to weep for them, but the only thing they ever made wet was our eyes. Cage, on the other hand, easily makes my pussy weep, and he hasn't even touched me yet.
He asks if she's all right, and she tells him she's not very good at this, and he asks if anyone has ever made her feel good before, and she says no. He says, okay, don't worry about anything except for letting me make you feel good. She nods. He kisses her, and it quickly turns feral, and he asks where she'd like him to kiss her next.
Lower, I rasp. He places an open mouth kiss on my jaw, ending it there. Let me hear your words, he purrs. Do you want me to kiss these pretty tits, or I can kiss your sweet pussy? I'll fucking feast on her if you want. Yes, I moan, all of it. On her? You'll feast on her? That's right, purr.
She moans as he licks and sucks her nipples, working his way lower, but when he gets to a scar on her belly button, she starts to freak out, and he's like, I will claim every part of you, even the pieces those fuckers try to take from me, because her soul will always be his. He kisses more scars as he works his way down her body. He starts to eat her out, and he edges her a couple of times until she's literally begging to come.
Cries stream from my throat as I grip his forearms, red crescents forming in his flesh. Once more, he's driving me directly toward the edge. My thighs shake violently in his hold as he feasts on me like a starving animal driven to madness from hunger. Cage, I'm going to come. Please, please let me come. I beg breathlessly. Let me drown you.
Let me drown you.
He finally allows her to come, and she's never felt anything like this before. But when she looks down at his huge boner in his gray sweatpants, she tells him she doesn't know if she can handle it.
It'll fit, baby, he assures confidently, hooking his thumbs into the waistband of his sweats and sliding them down his thick thighs and off his legs. His cock is even more intimidating without the clothing over it, and much bigger than I thought. But fuck, is it beautiful. Long and deliciously thick, with pulsing veins cording throughout it. He's perfectly proportioned, and even the swollen head has me aching to suck on it. Keep staring at me like that, and I'll give that little mouth of yours more than it can handle. It takes effort to drag my gaze up to his, my expression twisted with apprehension. That's not going to fit. He grins devilishly. It'll fit. They always fit.
We'll smush it in there.
Yeah.
He slides on a condom, and he's ready to take her to Pound Town.
Yeah. I'll feed my cock into your pussy nice and slow, okay, baby? I'll make sure you're so fucking full. Then just when you think you can't take anymore, his lips pull up into a savage snarl. I'll go deeper.
He says, I'll make it hurt real bad.
He lines up with her and waits until she can adjust before sliding it into her, and she loves it.
Look how fucking greedy your cunt is, baby. You see how badly it wants my cock? It's practically begging for me to fuck it. He spits the words through gritted teeth, his body coiled with tension, veins pulsating throughout his arms and hands. Is that what you want, Molly? For your little pussy to be fucked?
I'd say, oh my god, stop. Stop it.
He fucks her hard and fast and tells her she's clinging to him like a desperate little slut and commands her to keep eye contact with him.
Oh my God.
I know. He's going real aggressive with it. Yeah. She tells him she's about to come, but she looks away so he doesn't allow her to finish. She looks at him again and he fucks her until she has another orgasm, but tells her she can do better than that and she will be having another, but she doesn't think she can.
Let's see how tight that pussy can hold on to me, he growls. Show me how a dirty little slut milks my cock. Fuck you, I choke out, starburst beginning to explode behind my pinched eyes. You are, baby, and fuck, you're doing such a good job. He whimpers in my ear before drawing my lobe in his mouth and sucking.
I get the sexy talk and stuff, but like, if I was a victim of sex trafficking, if someone called me a dirty little slut, that might be my 13th reason.
I'd be like, yeah. You don't know.
Yeah. I am not.
You shut your fucking mouth.
She comes, he comes, and then she tells him she likes the way he talks to her during sex, but not to ever call her names like that outside of the bedroom. And he says, of course, and if he ever catches a man saying that stuff to her, he'll fucking kill them. She thanks him for showing her that she can enjoy something that she used to hate. We're in the present day, and Molly's on the phone with Legion asking not to work with Cage anymore. And Legion's like, oh, because he's in love with you or because you're in love with him? But she denies it. She requests that Eli do the drop-offs, so Legion's like, okay, whatever makes you comfortable. Eli drops off a gross pedophile for Molly and tells her there's another secret society who wants in on the gig, the Basilisk Brotherhood, and they want to harvest the organs so they don't go to waste. Which, like, cool. Take the organs.
Yeah. What are they going to do with them?
Give them to people who need them.
Oh, yeah.
He says he'll meet up with them and see if they pass the vibe check first, though. It's 2 weeks later, and Molly is still avoiding Cage. He knows she's running because of how close they're getting, and he's taken to watching her from the woods behind her house. So he's fully stalking her.
Okay, scary.
He watches her dispose of tonight's body and then sneaks up on her and grabs her, telling her for a little ghost with so many bones, she's just begging for him to break them. She asks what he's doing here, and he says he's not letting her go this easily, and next time she tries to walk away, he'll make sure she can't walk at all.
I'm gonna cut your legs off.
He picks her up over his shoulder and she threatens to cut his dick off. He carries her into the house and tells her that she can't run away after she made him fall in love with her, and she's shocked. He smacks her ass and then reaches between her legs and pinches her clit.
Okay. Yeah.
He rubs her through her pants as he brings her to the bedroom. He sets her on the bed and tells her how beautiful she is, but she tells him they can't be together. She's better off alone, but he's not buying it. She tries to make a run for it, but he catches her instantly and tells her again she won't be running from him. They're going to work through this. She tells him he's crazy, but he says he's crazy about her.
Yeah.
She tells him that he can't fix her, and he says he doesn't want to. He just wants her heart, her life, and her sweet pussy.
Oh, yeah. What more can a guy want?
Yeah. Honestly.
They start to make out, and she tells him that she is his. It's 3 months later, and Molly is watching Layla's game again. But this time, Cage is with her. He's asking if she wants to introduce herself, but she says no, she can't insert all of her fucked up shit into Layla's life. Layla's team wins the game, and when it's all over, everyone is walking out, and Layla makes eye contact with Molly, and it's like she recognizes her.
Aww. Sisters.
Her adopted mother is like, who the fuck are you? And Molly's like, I'm her sister. I left her with you. And Layla's like, you gave me away? Why? And Molly says, maybe this isn't the place to do this. And now her mom is pissed, saying Molly should have come to them first. Layla asks what she wants, and Molly says she just wants to know her, and if that's not okay, she'll respect that. Her parents say they're going home to discuss it first as a family, and they start to walk away, but Layla turns around and asks her name, and she says, my name is Molly. It's a month later, and Cage and Molly are doing a little 69 action, so a little change of scenery.
Nice. We're competing on who can make who come first. Whoever the winner is gets to fuck the other in the ass, and I'm determined to win. Yet, less than a minute in, and I'm on the verge of losing. Fuck him in the ass.
They're going to town on each other, trying to win, but Molly loses by a millisecond, and now she's gonna get fucked in the ass.
Darn.
Dang it.
Whoopsie.
Later on, Eli drops off Kenny Mathers, and he is the last guy on Molly's list of piece of shit men who assaulted her in the house. Cage killed him personally. So Cage did kill this guy.
Her man, her man, her man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's stoked and tells him she loves him, and he says he's gonna fuck her for so long tonight, but right now they need to chop this dude up and feed the piggies.
Yeah.
It's been a month since she saw Layla at the game, and she gets a phone call from Layla's mom saying Layla wants to talk to her, and she wants to know about her biological parents and her sister. Molly says she'll tell her everything she wants to know and thanks her mom for letting this happen. Her mom knows the whole history and thanks her for leaving Layla with them after everything that happened, but the moment that Layla says she's done, she will never let Molly see her again. And Molly says, of course, she respects whatever Layla wants. She runs to tell Cage what happened, barely able to get the words out because she's so happy, and then she gets another phone call, but this one's from a blocked number. She answers, and a deep male voice says, I hear you're good at making people disappear.
Who is this? Most know me by Z, but you can call me Zaid. Daddy, what are you doing here? Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
How many red pepper emojis do you give this one, Riley?
I liked this one. I think I'll give it 4.5.
Okay.
I did really like this one.
Do you think Cage is sexy?
I do. Do you guys?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty sexy.
Yeah.
The aggressiveness right after being essayed for a long time could like chill a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, you slut.
She was down for it though.
Yeah. She liked it. So that's all that matters.
And she communicated not to talk to her like that if it's not in the bedroom.
So next week we're telling Riley all about Bride by Allie Hazelwood. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
It's got a woman in like a white dress on the cover with like a wolf behind her.
Look at the girl's face.
She has fangs. Okay. I think this one maybe will be like a monstery romance, possibly. I think she's going to be like a vampire of sorts. And then maybe she's going to go to this community. And it's going to be this community of other monster-like people. And I think she's going to have to marry one of them. Like, it's going to be like an obligation. She has to do it. And she's going to marry a wolf thing type man entity of a sorts. She's going to marry that. And they're going to have some trials and some tribulations.
Wow.
But yeah, that's what I think it's about. How did I do?
Very well.
Yeah, you did really good.
Really? Are you guys lying?
No.
No.
Slay, slay, slay.
Go, girl.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.